Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Nick Harris coming up at 4:20. Fan University tomorrow, 9 to noon there with our guy Carter Freeman. Joey McGuire is going to jump on with him at 9:40. You'll get 3 hours of college football conversation. Maybe you're on your way to joining Broadus there at Tolbert Garage Door or Wolchuk at East Dallas Diesel. It'll be a time for everybody there tomorrow, 9 to noon with the college football talk.
Yeah, bring your best gumbo recipes if you're showing up for that.
Oh, I've always wonderful.
Liked to talk some food with you. I know I'd talk some ball, but talk some food too.
Okay, we'll talk ball with Nick Harris coming up in 20. Here's Wolchuk with his football fix.
All right. Rest in peace. We just found out that Arthur Jones, the brother of John Jones and Chandler Jones, Super Bowl champion with the Ravens, has passed away at 39 years old. We don't know right now exactly the details surrounding his death, but tragic, man. That is so sad. I know the Ravens just announced something, Eric DaCosta, about just the awesome person that Arthur was, but 39 years old, man, just taken away way, way too young.
That is heartbreaking, man.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to him and the rest of the Jones family.
I honestly wonder how Chandler Jones is doing these days. Wasn't he kind of crashing out pretty hard for a while?
He did have some, he was posting some wild Instagram videos. So I'm sure this one's probably hit him really, really hard. So I wonder if we'll get a Chandler appearance here soon. From that, congratulations to Jerry Jones and Fox's Pam Oliver. They are going to be joining the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame coming up, as Calvin Watkins reported. So we know Pam Oliver. She's been a longtime staple Fox sideline reporter really since they started. And Jerry, a big reason, you know, why the new network deal got done with Fox and the NFL, him and Rupert Murdoch getting that thing done in the 90s. So pretty cool. I know they were, Jerry was excited. He's in the same class there as Pam. But congratulations to both of them. Very well deserving.
Yeah, he's an icon in sports TV history. I think that's something that's overlooked.
He's made every one of these owners a billionaire.
So much
I
money.
I mean, I know a lot of these families that now own these teams are not families, but a lot of these owners are got other businesses. But the initial thing, what Jerry Jones did for the owners that were that got $8 million a year from NFL properties for all their merch and stuff like that is, oh, thank you very much for being a part of the NFL. Well, here's your $8 million check. And Jerry said, no, we're not doing this crap anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to do this with the TV. We're going to do this with marketing. And yeah, he's made every one of these owners billionaires for what he's done.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Absolutely. Well deserved there. Last night's game was wild. The line moved to where it was a touchdown favorite for the Rams. And Kyle Shanahan was not happy about this. I guess this was the biggest upset win in terms of the spread for the Niners in 14 years. Shanahan coached teams in San Francisco had come in as an underdog of at least a touchdown 11 times. They'd gone 0-11 in those games. I think last night was maybe the best regular season coaching performance that Shanny and Saleh have done. They were undermanned. No Brock Purdy, no Juwan Jennings, no Ricky Pearsall. That doesn't even mention Brandon Ayuk, who I don't even know if he's going to play this year. Stuff doesn't sound great for him right now.
Kittle.
Yeah, no George Kittle. Now, they do have Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams, and that kind of is what their offense runs through. But Mac Jones, holy hell.
And no Bosa, by the way.
And no Bosa. He's done for the season. So Mac Jones comes out. Was phenomenal. 26-23, they get the upset win. You had the fumble by Kyron Williams at the 1 yard line. He was punched in the face, but also Alfred Collins getting the football, the Texas defensive tackle. And then 4th-and-1, McVay goes for it. He was sick to his stomach afterwards, said, I called the wrong play. I messed that up. But here
I think he was covering for his guys, man. I mean, you call a run on 4th-and-1, you're like, my bad. You don't have to do that.
It felt like the Niners knew what was coming, though, dude.
That's
like,
the problem.
I mean, they like, Bob and apparently Sala crashed in on that thing.
Apparently a lot of Rams were kind of irritated in the locker room, like post-Super Bowl in Seattle style. Like, I can't believe you took the ball out of our best player's hands. You see what Stafford's doing tonight.
Yeah, I had heard Dan Orlovsky, making the comment that there was like that was a trend. Like third and one, that's the play call. They would run the same play call about five times previously. Mm. So San Francisco absolutely did. Mm. If they're following the trends defensively, this is most likely what they're going to do. Tendency breaker. That's what McVay needed to do there, and he knows it in hindsight.
You know, okay, where would you guys put on the decision-making meter percentage of what the analytics said, go or not go? Give me the percentage.
I think I saw the numbers, and it was like a 11% increase on your win percentage to go for it there.
You have an idea, Zach?
That sounds about right. It was 14% for the Cowboys.
Go for it, 85%.
Yeah, it was only 50%, a little over 50%.
Really?
Yeah. The analytics, I looked this up because I was curious on these. I always look up these decisions these coaches make.
Yeah, it's fun.
And according to our guys at Next Gen, it was just slightly, it was a 4% difference on go or kick the field goal.
It's so funny because there's so many different ones. Because like Seth Walder of ESPN, like the win percentage to go for it was 49%. The win percentage if you kick it is 38%. So it's like 11% difference on that one. But I guess there's different models on how they calculate it.
Yeah, the Next Gen one that they were talking about. They looked at it. Let me pull it up. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. It's fourth and one. Actually, it's fourth and a half. 1.5 yards. The San Francisco's 11 decision was go for it. They recommend to go for it by 4.6%. Result was a fail. Go for it was at 50.2. Field goal was at 45.6.
Okay.
Is what Next Gen had.
So the computer likes the tie?
The computer actually said, yeah, about 46% for the tie.
901's saying Shanahan deserves some crap. He didn't play for the win on their last drive of regulation. All they needed was one first down. So would have wanted more aggressive nature.
What call was that? That was Shanahan. Fourth and one?
I mean, I don't know what the down and distance was.
Is this overtime or regulation?
This is regulation. Their last drive of regulation. But here was Mac Jones.
That's a third quarter. They had a fourth and one in the third quarter.
I don't know if it was a fourth and one.
They didn't even try.
It was
they got the ball with 40 seconds and just sat there.
And then maybe you can get into field goal range there and boom, you can win it in regulation. I guess that's what they're referring to. Here was Mac Jones before the game. Kyle Shanahan just real fired up about this spread.
Kyle came up to me and he was pissed about it. So he's like, dude, I can't believe they moved us like underdogs again or whatever more. And I'm like, I don't know what that means really, but like, yeah, let's go kill him, you know? So he was pissed about it. I was like, yeah, I'm pissed too. So
it's amazing. Mac Jones has he's clueless on this. And Kyle Shanahan is just before the game. What? It's now moved over a touchdown and his blood's boiling. Like, this is ridiculous. But Mac Jones is just, he's such a goober.
I know.
He really is.
Do you think the league wants the head coach talking about spreads with the quarterback?
I don't know.
And letting it get out?
Hey, that's
they're making money off of this.
Yeah, you've welcomed this in.
Absolutely. I think
you think the league would want that.
Because then the head coach
is talking with the quarterback about spreads.
Because you're opening up a can of worms. How aware are they if they're kicking a field goal here late in the game just to make sure
they're... How about fumble one for me that spread? You know what I'm saying?
It's just not... Yeah. You don't want that. You don't want that. But now we've got a quarterback controversy. Because Mac Jones is playing well, and Brock Purdy's banged up. Here was Mac post-game on the starting quarterback job.
Before the game, there was a report that Brock could be out a few more games. Do you feel like the starting job, you're the starter now, and that's just the way you have to view it?
I think, they brought me here to play as a backup, and that's my job, and Brock's the starter of this team, and right now he's dealing with something, and for him to go out there last week and play, when he probably wasn't a full health, he cares about this team. So I'm just trying to get some wins for him so it helps us down the line. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. I've been in his position. I've been a starter. And you want your backup to go in there and win because at the end of the season, that could be the hit or miss between a playoff or not. So
I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, I would be sick to my stomach if I'm John Lynch and I'm watching Mac Jones go out there and look like he's very capable as a starter and we have just paid big money to Brock Purdy.
Nah, you just did your job.
We're trading him.
Yeah, you did your job.
Did you?
Yeah, you did your job.
Could have just said bye-bye and we're not going to pay Brock Purdy and we're going to rock with...
Because we're cowards.
Mac Jones.
Some of us are cowards.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now what you could do is maximize this. Maybe some teams that are quarterback needy start calling you before the deadline.
There you go.
What if Cincinnati calls you?
Trade Brock Purdy.
Roll Mac attack.
Like some Mac Jones. Maybe New Orleans is like, could Mac Jones be our quarterback in the future? Maybe Kellen Moore's like, man, he could run my offense.
What's Purdy's number? Is it 50?
53 yeah. is the 53. APY.
53.
Mm. Take him on for 53 for a trade?
If you, yeah, maybe they offer Purdy up.
I think it would be for Mac Jones because he's so cheap right now.
Would you take him on? If you're a team that needed a quarterback, if you were the Saints or somebody like that,
would I take on Purdy?
Yeah,
no,
I probably. I mean, I no, I don't.
Man,
think
you guys are showing some Mac Jones love right now.
Well, it's just the cheap factor of it all. That's what it is.
I mean, look, Brock Purdy,
who's a better quarterback
between the two of them? I think Purdy's better than Mac, but Mac Jones, I do think, is perfect for the type of offense that Shanahan wants to run. He's a guy that processes well. He's going to run the play that's called, and he's not going to mess around here. Purdy does give me some of those vibes. Is like, okay, now he's been paid, and he's confident in his own abilities. He might be a dude who'll audible every once in a while. Like, you heard Mac Jones talk. He's very small, like, mild-mannered. Like, he's not trying to ruffle any feathers there. I think he's like, Coach, aye, aye, Captain, whatever you want, sir. That's kind of what Kyle Shanahan needs. Trust me. I'm the big genius. I'm the offensive guru here. Run what I tell you to run. Maybe Brock will audible.
I don't know, Dawson. Who do you want?
Well, I want Mac Jones at that price. You know, if I'm San Francisco, I'm looking for anybody to take Brock Purdy off of my hands. But that contract is just unmanageable. So, you know, I guess I wouldn't have done either one. I think if you have a player who's, you know, just been in this perfect situation and has put up stats, but you can look at him and watch him play and be like, that's not an elite player. That's not a Hall of Famer. You got to have the balls to move on from them and trust that you can find a Mac Jones, especially in this environment where more and more guys are finding success in second places. And then if Shanahan, you look yourself in the mirror and you say, I've gone to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. I've gone to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. You know, we don't need to spend big money on this quarterback thing.
Which they did. So I don't know. It's weird to me what their decision-making is. Also, they went and got Trey Lance. And their quarterback decision-making has been very, very bizarre. We'll see what happens if Mac Jones fans up being the guy or not. Some people are still texting and like, no, Mac Jones is trash. Maybe he is. Could just be a flash in the pan, just a good couple of weeks.
I mean, Carson Wentz had one good game for the Vikings, and now he looks every bit as bad as he's ever been. We'll see what he does tomorrow.
Early NFL trends from Aaron Schatz of ESPN. Cowboys, eighth worst pass defense in NFL history through four games.
Right? Wow, I thought you were going to say on the season. I was like, okay, that's not as bad as I was thinking.
No, NFL history.
All time.
Yeah, most passing yards, most passing touchdowns, and net yards per pass attempt. As a result, they've got the eighth worst among pass defenses. Now, here's the good thing. You got a fellow division team that's in here. Giants, third worst run defense through four games in NFL history. Just behind the 79 Saints and the 78 St. Louis Cardinals. Eagles, seventh worst 4-0 team in NFL history through four games.
Yeah.
They rank only 17th in offensive DVOA and 14th in defensive DVOA. And if you, as a result, Eagles rank 12th overall, which is below three different 2-2 teams, Washington, Kansas City, and Denver. So all of that could be positive. The other teams in your division might not be very good either. So maybe that's some chicken soup for your Cowboy soul.
Yeah, the Eagles are getting it done because they don't turn the ball over. And when they get to the red zone, they're dang near perfect.
And their special teams has helped them out and saved games for them.
Yeah, and defensively, now they've gone up against some good quarterbacks. It's about to lighten up with that quarterback schedule.
We'll see.
So their defense should probably start getting a little bit better.
Let me rapid fire just some quick injury reports for you. As you set your fantasy lineups, Terry McLaurin out, not going to be playing against the Chargers. Jaden Daniels back in, is going to be playing for the Commandos. No J.J. McCarthy, so it'll be Carson Wentz, but you might not want to be playing him, fantasy players, because their offensive line's 3 out of 5 starters. So they're dealing with a similar issue the Cowboys are right now.
That's a London game, too, by the
way. That sure is.
Set it early if you got it.
Bucks running back Bucky Irving ruled out foot sprain. Could be out not only this week, but next week as well. And Panthers running back Chuba Hubbard ruled out. Rico Dowdle, former Cowboys star, expected to start against the Miami Dolphins. Could be a nice daily fantasy play there. Maybe even a price picks. More or less in the rushing yards for Rico. Give me more. There's your football fix.
Thank you, Wolchuk. There he goes. He has the football fix most every afternoon at 4 o'clock here on The Fan. We're going to get Nick Harris of the Star Telegram Cowboys expert beat writer. Will give us his insights and latest news on Tyler Smith's availability. He is listed as questionable on today's injury report. We're back with Nick.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Harris here. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Okay, so Nick Harris having to reschedule. He's going to come and join us at 6 o'clock here on The Fan. Nick Harris, Cowboys beat writer, The Star Telegram, 6 o'clock. Time here for a mixed bag brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Wolchek with that bag.
All right, The Athletic puts out their top 10 college football games every week. In this top 10, they've got Boise State at Notre Dame. That's a 2:30 kick. That's number 9 on their list. They've got Texas at Florida. The 3-1 Horns taking on the 1-3 Gators. That is number 8. Texas favored by a touchdown in this one. This is a big test for Arch Manning. And can you get something out of DJ Lagway? I mean, Florida's got a history. Just when you think Billy Napier's getting kicked out the door, bang, here they go.
Yeah, this is a bad spot for them, though, because the Texas defense is so next-level nasty.
So good.
DJ Lagway is going to be suffocated.
I hope so. I hope that's the case, because I do want Texas and Oklahoma to be a top-10 matchup the following week at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, for sure. This could be, what are we calling this one? A little bit of a trap game situation?
Can't look ahead.
Down Florida team with the big rival. I mean, you just saw with FSU, right?
Yep.
They had the Miami rival game right around the corner, and they fumble fart that thing away. Can't do that. At least this is the swamp. It's still the Gators. There's still some cachet there,
first
even though
SEC
they're down.
Game of the year.
And the Florida defense is legit. For some reason, they can't get a pass rush, and so that's going to be nice for Arch, but... That is still a pretty tough test. I think Texas has given up 4 touchdowns and Florida's given up 5 on the season.
Yeah, I mean, even in that week one loss to Ohio State, they lost 14-7. Like, that defense is as advertised. And I thought that would be what would carry Texas. I thought that would ultimately lead them to a win over Ohio State. That didn't happen. I didn't expect the offense to be as bad as it was.
Mm-hmm.
But now you really do need, in these SEC games, no matter how good the defense is, you're going to need your quarterback to step up and make some plays. I do think Wisner's going to be back for Texas in this one. That's going to be a good get. Maybe they can run the football well. Offensive line's been starting to gel a little bit better. They're coming off an off week. Sark, what'd you get? What'd you prepare?
I wonder what the over-under is for this game, because I think the under feels like a good play.
Could be a good play.
I think Choppy bet the under in this game. I think this morning I heard him say
that. The degenerate RJ Choppy did it. You should, too.
I think he said the under on this one.
Top 3 games on the Athletic slate. Number 11, the Texas Tech Red Raiders at Houston. Texas Tech almost a home game.
Yeah, Kirby Hokut, the AD, putting bulletin board material out there.
Yeah, it's like this is essentially our 8th home game or however many they're playing. But they have been really good against Houston. They're on quite a stretch. They're 4-0 against them since 2013. And they're favored by 11.5 at Houston. And I think Houston's wearing those sexy blues that look like the Houston Oilers unis.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, those are sexy.
Yeah, they look good. Vandy and Bama, the second best game of the weekend, undefeated. Vandy taking on the Crimson Tide, looking for revenge from last year, Diego Pavia. And Miami at Florida State, number 1 game of the weekend, the 3rd-ranked Canes going to take on the Seminoles, 6:30. On ABC. Looking forward to that one as well. Is Oklahoma becoming QBU? You look around this weekend in the NFL. After the Cleveland Browns announced that Dylan Gabriel is going to make his first start. I get it. Dylan Gabriel played for Oregon last year.
Yeah, that thing looks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
But the year before, he was at Oklahoma, and he had an incredible season with the Sooners. So he's played for Oklahoma. You've got 6 former Sooners that are going to be starting under center in the NFL this week.
Okay, let's play the game. Let's see if we can name them. We got Dylan.
Okay.
We got Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
We got Baker.
Yep.
We got Kyler.
Yep.
And now I'm like, what the hell?
Spencer Rattler.
Oh, rats.
for the Saints.
And there's one more?
One more. Also transferred.
One more Sooner.
Probably the biggest name of the bunch.
Oh, he is the biggest name of the bunch, isn't he?
He was in college.
Huge name.
Big time.
Yeah. Can't believe Broaddus and Dawson can't get this one.
Heisman style.
Oh, it's Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Six.
I was waiting for Eric to be quiet over there.
QBU?
Yeah, sorry about that.
What do we think here for the Sooner? Now, a lot of that's Lincoln Riley.
I was thinking like... big.
Well, but now you're seeing with Mateer and who knows what his NFL future holds.
And Mateer could end up
seeing him
here.
Seeing him rock and roll.
I mean, the fighting Carter Freeman's getting it done at the quarterback position.
Yeah, man.
Making it happen.
What bowl game were they in last year?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah.
They were in the Alamo Bowl.
Did they? Yeah.
Was it the Alamo Bowl? I don't know.
The Nobody Cares Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not in the playoffs.
Same one at LSU's on their way, too.
Yeah, probably.
All our good players aren't going to play in this game bowl.
Yeah. New Orleans going to host the 2028 college football championship. I guess it's the 2027 title game, but it's played January 24th of 2028.
Calendars, man.
So they'll have back in New Orleans.
Bennett went down there for the Texas-Washington game.
Yeah?
Said it's a great.
Oh, I bet it would be awesome.
It'd
be epic.
College football in that town is great. I went to the championship game, Clemson and LSU.
Yeah.
It was good down there, too.
I would have loved to have seen you and Dave. Just get into
Didn't
it.
Dave go out on a gurney because he was so hammered?
I mean, you were going to fight people.
He had on my 1985 LSU Tiger Sugar Bowl jersey. He was wearing it with my last name on the back, and he wanted to fight every person from the state of South Carolina that night.
Mm, I believe it.
That's a real fan.
Yes. I go, Dave, we might get crushed, but we'll knock a couple of them out.
You get him fired up.
We'll knock a couple of them out.
All right, speaking of LSU, national championship head coach Ed Orgeron recently interviewed.
What job?
Let's go to WAFB local news at a high school football game. Coach.
WAFBA?
What's your future?
There's talk that you want to coach again. Does that mean big-time assistant like you were at USC? Does that mean head coach? What does that mean?
All depends what the best thing available is, Jock. But I'm ready to coach again. I left a little bit of meat on the bone. I'm ready to go.
He left some meat on the bone, just like Joseph Randle did there.
Oh, we should have a Coach O off.
I can't do it that well.
Chuck has a little O in him.
I might be able to pull one out.
You're pretty good
a little bit. Yeah. But, man, I don't know. Does Coach O get one of these gigs? Is he getting offered, like Virginia Tech?
Well, we got
Arkansas.
Got to line up all the women in my life. I just got to get them all kind of separated here before I want to coach. You know, I left a little meat on the bone, and they said that about me too. Some of these gals, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, a little meat on the bone.
Is it all about like which campus has the hotter girls, Coach?
Well, yeah, if you want to be honest, yeah, I think so. You know, I like to go out to jock without my shirt on every once in a while. You know, kind of do those things. Yeah.
Definitely couldn't see you coaching at like West Virginia or something. Obviously,
probably not.
You holding out for that Florida Gator job?
Oh. Yeah. Chomp, you know, chomp. Like that chomp.
He's waiting for Mario Cristobal.
I get along with the Gators well. Gators, I talk to the Gators.
You know. Swim with them.
Yeah.
I'm wrestling them Gators.
Yeah. Swim with the Gators. Yeah.
you cohabitate with Gators.
I live with Gators. Yeah. I like Gator. I like Gator tail. I like the tail in general.
I'm Coach O.
I'm Coach O.
Thanks, Coach.
That's amazing.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Coach O, for making an appearance.
You guys, Go Tigers. No, wait, not Go Tigers. I'm not the Go Tigers anymore.
It's always Go Tigers.
Yeah.
You did get your natty. Mock draft? Not too early? Not too early?
It's Mocktober?
Not too That's early, right. Mocktober style? Guys, the number
Lose
one.
To the Jets, everybody's going to be doing it.
Number one overall pick right now is not a quarterback in this mock draft, courtesy of The Athletic.
Is it?
That's because it's a safety named Caleb Downs for the Buckeyes.
No, it's a player you guys might have talked about yesterday.
Reuben Bain Jr.,
the edge out of Miami. Best defensive lineman in the country right now. 22 pressures and is also just a badass run defender. Yeah. Titans projected to take him number one overall. The first quarterback off the board. It is not Garrett Nussmeier. It is not Lenora Sellers. It's definitely not Arch Manning.
Is it Mendoza?
It's Fernando Mendoza, quarterback out of Indiana, going to the Saints at number two.
Who's
overall.
Mock draft?
This is the Athletics. It is Nick Baumgartner, with, I'm sure, help from our buddy Dane Brugler, who, of course, is head of all things draft there.
If the Saints had the second overall pick, I wonder how hard it is going to be for Nussmeier. This is his dad being the coach
now. That's going to make things interesting, especially if we find out like he's hurt and maybe there was reason to why he struggled. The Panthers take Caleb Downs, the safety out of Ohio State. Next quarterback doesn't go till 6. It's Lenoris Sellers to the Browns out of South Carolina. Cowboys are picking 9th overall in
this. Here we go.
Keldrick Falk, the edge out of Auburn. Right up here, there isn't a defensive player in this class with a more impressive combo of tools and athleticism than the 6'6", 285-pound Falk, who can line up anywhere from 0 to 9 tech while maintaining above-average coverage range.
Doesn't sound like a pass rusher, though, if he could play all those spots, right?
No, no. Isn't the most polished pass rusher just yet, is what the next line is, but he's been productive.
6'6", 285, that tells me not a lot of quick twitch there.
Probably. But long... And probably set the edge.
Yeah, probably fits right into what they're doing with right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But we'll see if that ends up being the case. Last thing here in the mixed bag, let's go to MLB analyst Ben McDonald.
How you doing? I'm from LSU.
So the NHL loves ESPN. They've got a partnership. They're about to do their start of the season next week, and they do a promo for it during the Major League Baseball playoffs. And Ben McDonald on the call, and here was the exchange on ESPN.
And the Blackhawks return to the ice next Tuesday, NHL opening night against the defending champion Florida Panthers at 5 Eastern, 4 Central on ESPN. Triple header that night, Penguins, Rangers, Avalanche, Kings. Ben, I know you got an opinion on this. Panthers three-peat this year, what do you think?
If you say so, I mean, good luck to them. Are you asking if I'm going to be watching?
No, you'll be watching, of course, because you work for ESPN. You'll be watching Friday night.
There is zero chance I'll be watching. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Where will you be?
I will be somewhere, but there's zero chance I'll be watching.
All right, thanks, Ben. We'll be watching. Thanks for the rating.
Did you play this yesterday? Hey, I was observing.
He was observing.
Might want to pray for your sins of not listening to the show.
I couldn't listen, Brian.
It'd have been a bigger sin to listen. Entertainment?
No entertainment.
You're sitting there in silence?
Not until 7:45.
I was just peppering them with so many awesome memes on Instagram.
Yeah.
Not drinking water?
We almost sent you a pizza.
Yeah, no. Did you sip a little H2O or?
No, not until 7:45.
How do you feel?
What was
pretty good.
Yeah.
What was the big shebang meal?
Nothing special. Just had some like deli meats and tuna.
Someone texted in they saw you at Whataburger.
That's a lie.
They're ball sacking us?
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Or you are.
What would you have ordered if you were there?
The sweet and spicy bacon burger, without hesitation.
Couple of them.
Extra patty, extra bacon.
Maybe 4 patties.
Mm-hmm.
Onion rings and fries.
I love that.
Picking a shake.
Thank you, old Chuck.
Maybe a cinnamon bun. He had to apologize for this, though, by the way. That's the update from today.
Oh, got it.
He did have to issue an apology.
Okay, see, we've advanced the story, bro.
Yes,
give this man a chance.
He did issue an apology today.
I think he rallied.
And Bucci dunked on him pretty good.
Bucci man
said... Zero is also many postseason innings Ben McDonald pitched in his MLB career.
Oh, it's personal, man.
Ring him up.
Wow. Yeah.
All right, what you drinking, what you thinking is coming up in 22 minutes. If you're day drinking, maybe set a reminder for yourself and then, get together your thoughts on what you want to tell us about what you're thinking about coming up here at 5 o'clock. In addition to the finest next, Eric,
QB quotables and another installment of Dak needing more love next in the nation.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. What you drinking, what you thinking coming up here in about 15 minutes. It's time now for football's finest, Eric Chiafalo.
Okay, when I look at the comeback player of the year odds, I get a little bit annoyed. I know he's not the MVP right now. They're not giving him that type of love. Comeback player of the year should be a no-brainer.
There's people discussing with me on X that Dak does not even deserve to be considered an MVP because of the record of the team.
I think he should at least still be in the mix. Like when you look at the big board, I think Joe Burrow was up in there most of the year last year when that team sucked, could barely win games, but he was doing a ton of heavy lifting.
My answer was he's one of the reasons why you're not 0-4 right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and he goes, and this guy comes back at me and he goes, well, that's not a reason. That, I mean, he's, that's, that's not a league thing. He shouldn't. That's not a league thing. That's just a team thing. And I'm like, well, okay, but
they should fix the criteria to be like, guys, quit making it just the best teams that are eligible for MVP.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's right.
Yeah, because ultimately, like, I don't think he would win it because of the team record. Mm-hmm. But he should absolutely be considered, much like Burrow. Burrow was considered, didn't win it. So but
this gentleman's absolutely wrong then, right? Not absolutely wrong. I shouldn't say it that way. But
he should still be considered.
Just in the conversation, I'm not even saying he should be the MVP based on the way it always happens.
He said that he does not feel like this is an MVP player. But I want to say that this is a guy that probably doesn't like Dak. So what I do then is you put somebody that says that, you quote tweet him, and like what I normally do, and let him have to deal with the other people mm-hmm. that are having discussions. I give him credit. The guy's hanging in there, trying to fight his way out of it. Yeah. You know,
well, respect to that guy. Sound like he's got a warrior spirit.
Yeah. I just can't believe that you can't. I mean, we say MVP. Yeah. Okay. Sure. He's not going to win the MVP if the team's bad, but he is playing at a level that like with like very little that's helping him right now, especially on defense.
There's a lot of Dak haters out there, and it's tough because they've been dug in for 9-10 years, and now like the world's changing a little bit. I think it's safe to just say, hey, got a different coach, you know, maybe hit a point in his career
offensive line coaches,
he's decided the things that bothered him just aren't going to bother him anymore. He's hit a level of experience where he's seeing the defense clearly. Like, guys evolve, and it's okay. I think right now you should know, like, take a look in the mirror. If you're Dak hating out there loud and proud, it's just not a good look as a fan. It doesn't reflect ball knower at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's totally fair to criticize the failures in the postseason. But right now, he's playing the best football of his career, and it's hard to argue any quarterback's playing better than him right now.
Well, don't tell that to the people that are putting together the odds for comeback player of the year. You'll see Christian McCaffrey leading the way. And this isn't an indictment on any of these guys that are ahead
4-1.
Of him because McCaffrey's playing awesome.
Yeah.
Aiden Hutchinson also ahead of him,
yeah.
plus 250. But right now, plus 400, you could get Dak for the comeback player of the year. And if he keeps playing this way, I don't know how you could vote otherwise. Now,
I mean, I guess if McCaffrey receives for 1,300 yards and runs for 1,000, there's an interesting conversation there to have. But at 4-1, that's good value.
It is good value. Now, you also have, I saw our buddy Brandon Laurie.
He's doing good work on social.
Yeah, he's always killing it. And he brings some good info to the table. And he noted, and we've talked about this with Dak under pressure. I know he's been far and away the best quarterback under pressure this year. So Prescott has the 5th most pressures among quarterbacks. He's been pressured 65 times.
Wow.
But he has a 9.2% pressure to sack ratio. So how often when you get pressured are you actually getting sacked? And his 9.2% pressure to sack rate is 32nd out of 36 quarterbacks, which is really, really good. He's not getting sacked. He's being pressured at the 5th most rate, but he's being sacked that basically bottom of the league rate. He's getting the ball out. And the thing that I love too, and I mentioned this the other day after the Micah situation, so many quarterbacks were getting the ball out and avoiding a Micah sack by just dirting the football, right? Throwing it away, whatever, live to fight another day. Dak's not really doing that. I don't have like the throwaway numbers, but just watching him play, it's not like, oh, let me just throw the ball out and not get a sack here. It's, I'm still going to throw a completion under this duress. So just another
73% for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's never been that guy to really throw it away. That's always kind of been a frustration of mine. Like, man, can you just sail it into the stands instead of forcing something here and maybe it gets turned over?
Yeah. Yeah, so just another example. Dak's playing his tail off right now. Another guy who is Puka Nacua through 5 games. Nacua's on pace for an NFL record, 1,999 receiving yards. The most is Calvin Johnson with 1,964 back in 2012. Cooper Kupp had 1,947 in 2021, but Puka's just continues to kind of just play out of his mind right now. One of the funnest players in the league to watch.
Isn't he just, he's like Kupp 2.0. There's so many similarities in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's a market inefficiency on those kind of guys.
Yeah. He's just, he's really, really awesome in the way he blocks in the run game, literally retiring Xavier Howard after Howard had to deal with him for the Colts over the weekend. totally get that. QB quotables, we start with Jackson Dart. We know he's got a chip on his shoulder playing the Saints because they passed up on him. And then they were asked about handling the crowd noise at the Superdome on Sunday. Quote, I played in the SEC. Played in a lot of really loud places. He's built for this, right? And from
Dax,
a sound? From
didn't
a crowd
Dax say the same thing one time?
I'm sure when every Dax SEC was a quarterback rookie, has said this.
I think they asked him about playing at Lambeau Field or one of these places, and I think he said, he goes, I play in the SEC. Yeah, I think it's a good quote,
SEC.
Though.
Yeah.
What about the quote from C.J. Stroud, who says, I feel like I'm getting old. I'm not as quick as I used to be.
At 23 years old?
I was watching my high school stuff a couple of days ago, and I was like 180 pounds, and I was rolling. And as Walchuk mentioned, he's 23 years old. Oh, dude. What are you
doing? I think it's possible he's slower.
Have your athleticism just completely evaporate from your body at 23 years old when you're a professional.
I mean, he probably put on what? how much does he weigh now? 220? Probably put on 30, 40 pounds. It's going to slow you down. Power to weight ratio. You know, it's like you put 10 old, big old bags of sand in the back of your pickup.
Yeah.
Now's not the time to be drag racing.
He is listed 6'3", 218.
Yeah, so.
You're a little lighter, you're a little faster. Come on, dude, you're 23.
But you feel like you're getting old now. All right, you're aging poorly.
I know
now, in front of that offensive line, I guess we'd all be aging poorly.
No doubt, that is true.
Speaking of taking a beating, watch out for Carson Wentz this weekend. Just concerned for his health. He's got three offensive linemen out, and he's going up against
Cleveland,
Myles Garrett, and vaunted defensive line. So it could be a long, long morning in London, or I guess it'll be a night game out there.
They were actually talking last week about, you know, maybe when J.J. McCarthy gets healthy, we'll just we'll keep old Carson Wentz in here.
They like him.
But yeah, that's a nasty front. And I would imagine he's going to be on the run, and I predict multiple turnovers from Carson Wentz.
And then another sad franchise is the Carolina Panthers. There is a popular Panthers podcast that has been going on for 6 years. It's called the Meow Mix, a Panthers podcast.
Please deliver.
They have shut down due to how terrible the team is.
There's just no interest.
They've completely thrown in the towel. Maybe it's a no interest thing. Maybe the numbers would reflect that.
That's terrible for us that are starting these things.
Or it's just that. Well, at least the Crown Global Media is not a Panthers media network. You know,
I'll pivot real fast to the draft. Just watch me.
Walchuk already proved it's October.
Yeah.
So Brent, don't sounds tell like me. You're going to start a Panthers podcast.
Yeah, dude. There's a void now.
Got to be at least 24 or so viewers looking for a new show.
And last night there are allegations that the Rams were pumping in crowd noise. If you noticed, it was a sea of red. Yeah. It looked like it was a Cowboys game versus the Niners, where there's just Niners fans everywhere.
I saw some clips where the fans were sitting down when it was like it was some of the loudest, but nobody was standing up or yelling or anything like that.
Yeah, it was like a third down. There's basically nothing but Niners fans anyways, but all the Rams fans are just sitting down, chilling, wishing they were somewhere else. But the crowd, like the noise is, it sounds like it's crazy. They were pumping it in. Yeah. We're going to have to find them for that.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Steve Ballmer over there helping them out.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's big time cheating. All right. It's time now for that one segment of the week where you're encouraged to call in while intoxicated or in the process of catching a buzz. Today, it's brought to you by Jake's Burgers. It's time for What You Drinking and What You Thinking next here on The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.